T-minus 72. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. After an emotionally trying day in Birchwood, the sound of Piper giggling without a care in the world soothed Emma's soul and brought an overdue, if brief, moment of calm. The baby was next door with Dan and Uncle Clark, supposed to be settling down for the night while Emma and Aunt Tara continued their work of baby-proofing the house one room at a time in a manner no other parents or guardians would ever have to worry about. They'd been doing this for hours, taking turns with the brothers to either sweep a room of potentially dangerous objects first or come in to look for secondary concerns once the main things had been dealt with. Given the distressing reason that this work was necessary, the sound of Piper being happy, even this far past her bedtime, was the most welcome sound in the world.
"What about those pebbles?"
Tara asked, pointing to a decorative bowl on the mantelpiece. Emma sighed and went to collect them.
"These were from when we stayed at Timo's place by Lake Maggiore," she said, placing them in a box with too many other items to count.
The house was starting to look more like a short-term rental than a family home, what with most of the personal touches and indeed most of everything now resigned to one of several storage boxes, as clear surfaces and empty walls abounded. Ordinarily, baby-proofing would merely involve clearing all potential dangers at the baby's height, be they the sharp corners of much-loved furniture or the low-hanging cords of any window blinds, and these standard tasks had all been carried out by the excited parents-to-be several weeks before their baby was born. But now that little Piper had revealed herself as anything but ordinary, there was no such thing as too careful. After all, without Clark's intervention, she could and likely would have severely injured herself when trying to reach a fallen photograph using a telekinetic power she was far too young to understand. The road ahead for the family was paved with nothing but danger, with the consequences of anyone else finding out about Piper's power truly unthinkable. She would be feared, she would be hated, and she would undoubtedly be targeted. The only apparent hope of giving her any kind of normal life rested on what could be discovered on New Kerguelen, ideally via a revival of the messenger's so-called elders, but possibly via deeper communication with the messengers themselves, or even exploration of a world whose known size had recently soared, along with its apparent habitability. Immediately, though, the gravest threats to Piper were physical ones of her own making. For while an ordinary baby could choke on a ground-level pebble or injure themselves by pulling something down from slightly overhead, Piper could theoretically injure herself, or perhaps someone else, with just about anything that wasn't clamped down. Even then, no one knew the full extent of her telekinetic strength and could only go on Dan's experience of only being able to remotely manipulate objects he could feasibly have moved in a more conventional manner. As soon as the pebbles were taken care of, a very quiet knock on the front door sent a shiver up Emma's spine.
"Who the hell is that?"
she asked, gazing at her younger sister. Tara sidestepped towards the window and squinted her eyes.
"It's Henry,"
she said, the powerful streetlights outside enabling her to see his wheelchair in the reflection of Emma's car. Relieved, Emma walked to the door.
"Hey,"
she said, opening it most of the way but not stepping aside as she normally would.
"Everything okay?"
"Yeah. You guys?"
She nodded, awkwardly reluctant to invite Henry inside.
"I was just wondering if Clark's coming home tonight," the senior McCarthy said, inflecting his words into a question. "I don't like leaving the latch off the door all night, especially if he ain't even coming."
"I don't think so, but I'll check."
"And is Dan around?"
Henry asked before Emma set off.
"I haven't seen him since he got back from New York."
This answered the lingering question in her mind as to why he hadn't just called or texted Clark for clarification on his sleeping plans.
"He is, but he's in the nursery with Clark, putting her down,"
she replied, instinctively lowering her voice despite being the length of the house away from Piper.
"Got it,"
Henry said, reducing his own volume to match. As Emma walked past Tara on the way to ask Clark, she encouraged her to stop suspiciously standing in the middle of the room and to at least say hi.
"Say, where's the photo of Piper and Rooster?"
Henry asked before Tara even reached him. Emma's absence from the ramped doorway allowed him to see right inside, but he was far too polite and old-fashioned to enter without a clear invitation, even if it was his son's home and right next door to his own.
It fell,
Tara blurted out, caught off guard by the straightforward question, which was quite clearly born of curiosity rather than suspicion.
On its own? Henry asked with raised eyebrows and a knowing grin.
Tara gulped.
What are you talking about?
She replied, suddenly defensive. Confused by the sudden shift in tone, Henry moved his head back slightly for a different view of Tara's expression. Before he spoke again, however, Emma returned to his vision.
Clark's staying here,
she announced on her way back to the door, surprising no one given that he had spent most nights in the spare bedroom, effectively Tara's room, for the past several months. But when Emma reached the door, she couldn't miss the heightened awkwardness in the air.
What did I miss?
The photo, Henry said. It seems like a sore spot for someone, so I think I can guess who accidentally knocked it over.
Well, it sure didn't fall over by itself,
Emma chuckled, nudging Tara with her elbow and rolling her eyes. Henry laughed, too, but his jovial expression didn't last for very long.
Come to think of it, he said, ducking and tilting his head to pass the sisterly obstructions in the doorway. Where the hell is everything else? Don't tell me you guys are moving out of town.
Away from your Monday night meatloaf? Emma grinned. As if we would. No, we're going to get a much bigger canvas print of the photo our klutz here knocked over, and we're going to repaint everything, too. We've been waiting for an excuse to redecorate, in case you can't tell.
This wasn't a lie Emma had intended to commit to, and her mind, more accustomed to twisting the truth than she liked after so many years in the PR game, was already considering how to take it back. Emma positively hated lying to Henry, who she was far closer to than she'd been to her own parents since leaving Georgia quite literally half a lifetime ago.
Always something needing done, ain't there?
Henry shrugged, slowly rotating his chair to head home.
But tomorrow, you know, if you guys aren't doing anything else, you could bring her next door for a little while. I can take her off your hands.
I'm sure she'd love that,
Emma said with a smile that hurt more than it should, carefully noncommittal in her choice of words.
Have a good night.
As soon as the door was closed, Tara collapsed onto the couch with her head in her hands.
I'm sorry, he asked about the photo and I...
Go to bed, Emma interrupted very forcefully. Tara sat bolt upright, irked by the tone.
What? We shouldn't have told you,
Emma said, shaking her head at the floor.
Just go to bed and try to think for once about how much is at stake here, okay? No phone calls and you don't leave this house until I say so. Sounds good,
Tara said with an ironic raise of her eyebrows. But as she moved to position herself more comfortably on the couch, Emma grabbed her arm and unceremoniously pulled her upright, too quickly for Tara's body to formulate any resistance.
What the hell is there to smile about?
Emma snapped, pushing Tara towards the spare bedroom insistently but without any truly violent force.
I've been cleaning up your messes since you've been old enough to make them, but if I can't count on you to keep your mouth shut this time, then we're going to have to limit who you're in contact with until we sort this thing out. Listen to yourself,
Tara complained, entering the bedroom of her own accord and hiding her hurt behind the anger she presented.
This is my daughter's life, Tara,
Emma said from the doorway, the words firm but barely above a whisper.
And that's one thing I won't risk letting you mess up.
She closed the door, then fought back tears as she carried a bulky box of memories out of the newly baby-proofed living room.